intellect. Romans chapter 10, and it says, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That ought to be our prayer when it comes to our loved ones, our family, our neighborhood, our neighbors, to see the people get saved. We ought to pray God give us souls, amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing the sheaves with him." Pray for souls to be saved. There's a young lady here that's going to be here this morning. She's over in the teen class, I believe. She's not saved. They dealt with her last night. She said she cried and cried and cried, but she still wouldn't get saved. She can't grasp, behold that, and y'all pray for her right today while we're sitting in Sunday school. She's over there. She couldn't grasp, behold, thinking that her daddy went to hell, and her daddy wasn't saved. So y'all pray for this young lady. She gets saved this morning. And we had somebody else get saved last night over the phone. Brother Joe was dealing with on the phone last night. That was a blessing. He says, "I bear them record," talking about, yeah. In the Jersey gas station, somebody got saved. Wow. They stopped to get gas and won a soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to be doing it everywhere. Amen. Do it everywhere. Witness everywhere. Brother Jack's dad and I went to West Virginia on Tuesday. We drove up there. He was at the house at 5 o'clock. We took off, and we got back at 9:30, went to get a trailer. We took a Mustang that Gary Lutrick had at my house, had to get a U-Haul trailer, and then we drove to Morganton, West Virginia, met Brother Gary and Brother Ryan Skidmore, and met them there. And then we went and had something to eat at McDonald's for a minute, and then we took off and went to another part of West Virginia. And you talking about down in the holler, and that's where we went, down the holler, and part of West Virginia, got this trailer and brought it back. But it was a good time. Jordan went with us, and we just had a good time. Me and Pop Payton, we had a great time, enjoyed it. We witnessed them all the way. We're passing our tracks. But anyway, he says, "I bear them record," talking about Israel, that they have a zeal for God, zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I've said this last week, zeal is good. But people have they're zealous about all kinds of stuff. They're zealous about, you know, fishing. They're zealous about sports. They're zealous about hunting. It's amazing, hunting season coming up. And these guys that never go out on visitation, never try to pass out a track, but they're crazy when it comes to hunting. And they go out, and I'm not against hunting. I'm not a hunter. I'm a city boy. I grew up, and my father didn't take me out to go hunting. He didn't take me fishing. He taught me. He just made us work. And I'm just, I don't know, maybe I could learn to enjoy it, but I'm just too hyper, I guess. If I go out in the woods, I'm going to shoot something fast, and let's go, you know. And, get a machine gun. That'd be fun. That'd be really be fun. And, I mean, just go out and shoot up stuff. I went hunting one time. I first got saved, and I went up to West Virginia. And I went with this guy that said he was a big game hunter. He knew what he was doing. He was Italian. I should never trusted him. And we went up there, and another Italian went with us, and we all had shotguns. I had my dad's old 12-gauge. And like I said, I got saved off the street and everything. And I'm up there with these guys, and they're arguing the whole time. This one guy said he was a big game hunter. He gets out of the truck. We parked the truck on the dirt road, and there was a goat tied up down the road at this man's house. It was tied up, and the goat was out in the road. And this guy jumps out. He's Italian. And he jumps out, and he goes, "Deer!" And he pulls his gun up, and he's going to shoot a guy's goat. And I put the gun. I went, "Man, that's a goat." I knew that. And he didn't know it. And he was going to shoot the man's goat. We would have been having a feud up in West Virginia over a man's goat. So we're going through the woods, and they were arguing. And they were so loud, we never seen nothing. Then they got arguing among themselves. They got shooting at each other, and then they got shooting at me. And I had a 12-gauge. They only had 20-gauge. And I about took the whole tree out. When they shot at me, boom, I shot back at them. And that was our hunting trip. That was the last hunting trip I ever went. And crazy. It was just crazy. Yeah. People are zealous about all kinds of crazy things, and I want to be zealous about the Lord. You know, Jehu said, "Let me show you my zeal." And his zeal was going out. He was going out to wipe out Ahab's seed, and that's what he did. He said, "Let me show you my zeal," and he drove like a madman. But it says, "I bear them record they have a zeal of God." Now, Paul showed that zeal, and Paul had zeal. And I said this last week. I said, Doc used to say this. He said, "Knowledge puffeth up." He said, "You can have knowledge, but a lot of men have a lot of knowledge, but no zeal." He said, "You can have zeal He said, you can always get knowledge. But if you have knowledge, you usually can't get the zeal back. And you can, you know, zealous, being zealous. You ought to be zealous and zealous for the Lord and not be ashamed. Stand up and go out, pass out some tracks. And it's a blessing to me. I restocked that track rack. And I noticed there's a lot of tracks been going out. And I hope they're not putting them in a drawer, leaving them in the car. I hope they're going out and people are putting them in people's hands. Every time you go to the bathroom, you ought to have a track. Put it, leave it in the bathroom. And because the people will read in the bathroom. He said, I bear them record they have a zeal of God. And Paul had that zeal, but not according to knowledge. But they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, Jesus Christ, he was the end of all the law, and when it came to, he fulfilled the law, and he's the only one that ever fulfilled the law, and the Bible tells us he's the end of the law for righteous sake, for everyone that believeth. So I don't have to keep the law to get to heaven. The Jews had to keep the law to get to heaven. They had to go once a year at least for the Day of Atonement. They had to go and have an atonement for their sin, but postpone their sin, a judgment on them for their sin. And they had to do it. Now, for a person to say that the salvation in the Old Testament is the same as the New Testament, is not right. Amen. That's not right at all. Because they had to do that. Now, I don't have to do that. I don't have to go to Jerusalem every year. I don't have to go to the Day of Atonement. My sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But for them to say, the Old Testament salvation is the same as the New Testament, is not right. Because in the Old Testament, they had to keep the law. They couldn't walk on Sabbath day, but a quarter mile to an eighth of a mile, I believe it is. And there was a lot of requirements in the law that they had to keep. And if they broke the law, then they had to have a sacrifice for that law. Now, you and I are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. And the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And to show us, we have laws in America. And I said this, the laws in America right now on the books, a lot of the laws, they've changed the new laws, but the laws basically came from the Bible. Sodomy was still in the law book, still in the law book. And it's a sin, and it's punishable by going to jail. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Go to Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. Look what the Bible says. The law was a curse. It was a curse. And why did God do that? Well, God put the law to bring them to show Israel they needed him, and they needed the Son of God that was going to come. It says in Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by what? The law is not of faith, but man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ have redeemed us from the what? Curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessings of Abraham, we're Abraham's seed, spiritually seed, not his physical seed, by faith. We're Abraham's seed by faith. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. It says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed, no man disannul or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, the physical promises, the land, the land grant. And he saith not, and to his seeds as many but of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant was not confirmed before of God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, but it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed, notice that, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. No, the law is not against God's promises. He promised Abraham, for if there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And before the law, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. It says, verse 26, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's not talking about water. It's not talking about water. It's baptism, spiritual baptism. And it says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile or Greek. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So we're Abraham's seed according to promise, but the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was a curse. And for a person to say, well, I believe in keeping the Ten Commandments to get to heaven, they're saying they're cursing themselves. Because ain't no, the Bible says if you offend the law in the book of James, you offend the law in one point, you're guilty for every bit. You offend it one point. So it was to show you you needed Christ. And when the promise was come. And it says, for looking back, Romans chapter 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So I don't have to keep the law to get to heaven. Now, should I abide by the law to a point? Yeah, to a point, I should abide by the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So you say, well, God gave that first commandment in the law. He said, yeah, I mean, nobody can keep it. Oh, yes, they can. He wouldn't have said it if you couldn't keep it. You can keep the commandment by loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You can do that. That's not, as long as you don't let other influences come in your life. You say, Lord, I want to be influenced by you and you alone. It says, thou shalt not make on thee any graven images. You shouldn't have any graven images in your life. You shouldn't bow down to them. You shouldn't pray to them. You shouldn't, it could be not only Buddha or some other image. You could have images of people have images of the cross they bow down to. Yeah. And now we're not against the cross but the cross was a curse. And it was a curse that Jesus Christ hung us. It's a curse to everyone that hangeth on a tree. So look at verse 4 of Romans chapter 10 again. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, how many of y'all believe? Y'all believe? Amen. Christ is in the law. I'm not trying to keep the law to get to heaven. Now, I ought to abide by the law. I ought to be a law, not a law enforcer, but a law-abiding citizen, a law-abiding Christian. People judge you according to how you act and what you do. So the law is not, it's nothing wrong with the law. It says thou should keep the Sabbath day. So what about the Sabbath day? Is Sunday the Sabbath day? No, Sunday's not the Sabbath day. Sunday is the first day of the week. The Seventh-day Adventists, they're under the law. They're trying to live under the law. They go to church on Saturday. But they've got it all wrong, man. They got it all messed up. Because if they really want to keep the law according to the Bible, then their time ought to be Jerusalem time. So I went by a church yesterday, going to pick up my wife at the airport, and there's a church right there in Templeville, and they're meeting on Saturday. Now, you say, was there anything wrong? Well, we can get together. We had a revival, 8 days we had got together, but we're not trying to keep the law to get us to heaven. Seventh-day Adventists, they believe if you don't keep the Sabbath day, boy, you're in jeopardy of losing your salvation. Isn't it funny how these people that believe in keeping the law, they also believe that you can lose your salvation? They believe they're in jeopardy of losing it. I know I can't lose my salvation. And I've said this before, 7.5 billion people on the planet, and about 750,000 or million are, if they're saved 10%, then out of that 10%, another 10%, as they know that they can't lose their salvation. And so I'm glad I'm in that 10%, 10% of 10% that believe they can't lose your salvation and know it, amen? And it says, And it's funny how people believe they can lose their salvation, but they still live like hell. Yeah. Yes. And the Seventh-day Adventists, they believe they can lose their salvation. The Mormons believe in keeping the law and Jehovah's Witnesses and all that. But look at verse 6. But the righteous which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And he's saying, who's going to go up into heaven to bring Christ down? Jesus Christ already went up and back, and he's already been up and back a couple times. And who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead? A lot of preachers and teachers don't believe that Jesus Christ went to hell for us. They don't believe that. I believe that. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says it. The Bible says he went to hell for us. Acts chapter 2, I believe it is. Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 31. I'll back up to verse 29. Peter preaching, Peter talking here. Back up to verse 27, I'm sorry. It says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in what? Hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. You need to underline this verse. You need to underline these verses about hell. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So Jesus Christ, whether you realize or not, went to hell for you and me. And the Bible says in Ephesians, go to Ephesians, says that he led captivity captive. He had to go down into paradise. He had to go to hell and then go over to paradise and to release those that were in paradise and get them out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, 8. Back up to 7. It says, back up to 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I like that. Above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about of every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joint together, compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walked in the vanity of their mind, but having their understanding dark and so on. But I wanted to see that verse 8, where he went down, he went to hell, and he came up, and he did it in less than 3 days. And he went down, and then the Bible says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he went into hell, dumped our sins into hell. And the Bible says he preached to the spirits over in Peter. It says he preached to them. And I wanted to hear that message sometime, what he preached. Amen. Yeah, I can hear him saying, the Bible says, and God said, and he'd be preaching to them. Matter of fact, take your Bible, look in 1 Peter, I think it is, where he's preaching. He said he preached to the spirits. 1 Peter 3:19. He preached to the spirits. Somebody read that real quick. 1 Peter 3:19. Which sometimes were disobedient, when the long suffering of God waiteth in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So, and he's preaching to them. He goes down into hell, and he preaches to the disobedience, and preaches about himself, about him coming, and about the prophecy being fulfilled. He preached that. So go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 7, who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? And what saith it? You know, you think about this. When Jesus Christ said, when he came to the cross, he said, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. All power is given unto him. So he had power to go down into hell. And then, I mean, first he laid down on the cross and allowed them to crucify him. He allowed them. And then he gave up the spirit, or he gave up the ghost, the Bible says. He gave up the ghost. If he didn't, he would have been on that cross still. And he gave up the ghost. And then he has power to go into hell, down into hell, carry our sins, dump our sins into hell, and then has power to walk over. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, he has the keys of death and hell. He took them away from the devil when he came up. When he came down, the devil having the keys, he took the keys away, unlocks hell, walks in, preaches to him, dumps our sin, walks over, unlocks paradise, unlocks that, and says, come on, we're out of here. And takes them up. That's wild. That's wild. And the Bible says he led captivity. Then he stops on the way up. He stops in Jerusalem, and he goes out there because Mary comes out to see him, and all the disciples come out, and he says, Mary, don't touch me. I haven't yet. And he allows them for 8 to 10 to 12 hours to preach in Jerusalem. He allows them. You say, is that in the Bible? Sure is. I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, look at this. When it says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, look at Matthew 27. I got a great God, brother. Amen. I'm telling you what, ain't nobody like him. More powerful than him. What a great God. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Amen. You know what shows me? He's got power to take care of me. He got power to take care of you. Time to go, brother, he's got power. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he what? To become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you can have power in your walk of God. You can have your power in your life. And look at the Bible says in verse 51 of Matthew 27. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. He allowed them to go and shake up Jerusalem. And they walked in. I mean, a loved one comes walking in through the wall and says, hey, the Messiah came, paid the sin that you rejected him. I mean, man, that had to be a wild scene. Now, look back at Romans chapter 10. Now, this is what the Bible teaches for us to get saved. Now, I went through the Romans road a couple weeks ago, and the Bible teaches us that if we confess our sins, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in thine heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Saved is a Bible term. I ask people, are you saved? And a lot of people say, well, yes, I am. I said, well, how'd you get saved? And a lot of them will try to say, well, I was born saved. No, you weren't. Just because you were in a Christian home, you're not born into salvation. You have to get saved. And a lot of people teach different ways of being saved. There's people that teach the Church of Christ. They teach that water baptism is called baptism regeneration. And you get baptized, that means you're saved. That's not true. I dealt with a guy, came to church here, And I've told this story, and he's a taxidermist now here. His name Buck's taxidermist. And Buck used to come to church here, and another guy. And they were going to the Pentecostal church, and the Pentecostal teaches that you have to be baptized to be saved. And especially there was Kent Christian. They taught three parts of your salvation. They said, first you repent, then you get baptized, and then you speak in tongues. That's their three things. And that's what they teach. And you say, oh, that ain't what they teach. I studied it. I found it. I know what they teach. I've talked to their pastor, and him and I've gone at, and I've talked to him. And that's what they teach. They believe that. They believe you got to speak in tongues to prove that you're saved. That's your proof of your salvation. So they teach people, they have classes for people to go back and let your tongue loose and say, hallelujah, 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 blah, 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 and they get going. And they teach that stuff. And if tongues, I asked them this, if tongues was a miracle, which it was, then how come it ain't happening now? And I've asked them, you know, I said, do you all have missionaries? And they said, yes, we do. I said, well, do your missionaries have to go to language school to learn the language of the people? And they said, well, yeah, why? I said, well, if you believe in tongues, like you say you do, why do they have to go to school? God's more interested in seeing people saved than you are. Why do they got to go to school? So, and the guy didn't know what to say. But there's, look, take your Bible, look in John chapter 3. Look in John 3. Doc used to always say, the Bible will clear up a high school education or a college education. The Bible, when you study the Word of God, it's real clear, plain. Look at John chapter 3. I dealt with this guy, Buck. He went to, and he tried to tell me, and I showed him this verse, and we went over it, and over, and he still couldn't get it. He could not get this. They believe baptism is part of your salvation. And I baptize people here, but you notice we don't have a baptism but maybe once or twice a year, and we need to have it more because it's obedience. It's obedience. But Nicodemus, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, chapter 3, verse 1. The same came to Jesus by night. He says, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that cometh from God, for no man doeth these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, being born again, people have made fun of that term, and they've used that term loosely. They've said a bunch of things about how to be born again. And but verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? And look what Jesus said, very clear, very clear. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I was showing this to Buck. He goes, yeah, see that? Right there. Born of water and of the Spirit. I said, well, look, let the Bible interpret itself. Amen. Let the Bible, and he sat there, and I said, can't you see that? The Bible is a self-interpreter. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And notice the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. There's a difference. Kingdom of God, the Bible says, is inside you. Kingdom of heaven, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. When Jesus Christ was on this planet, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven was together. In the Garden of Eden, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven was together. When they sinned, the kingdom of God went out, the kingdom of heaven stayed. And when Jesus Christ comes back again, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is going to be together again. But the kingdom of God is here now, but it's in each one of us. It's in you. So how do you know? Because the Bible tells us that. Hold your place there in John, and we'll go back and look at the kingdom of God. Look at Luke 17, I think it is. Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees demanded, they want to know. People want to know, there was some crazy nuts talking about the end of the world was come this week, I think it was. You always got some crazy nuts saying something like that. The end of the world's today, you know. I know according to the Word of God what's going to happen. I already know what's going to happen. I don't know what might be, you know, I don't know if North Korea is going to shoot off any missiles. I don't know if America's going to annihilate. I don't know all that. But I know this, I know what the book says. And I know what's going to happen with Israel. I know what's going to happen with us that are saved. We're going to go be with the Lord. The rapture is going to take place. Some of us might die off before the Lord comes back. We might die of heart attacks and other things. But look at Luke chapter 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within inside you. When you got saved, the kingdom of God's inside you. So you want to know how you spread the kingdom? Southern Baptists, a lot of people get up on Sunday morning, they'll pray. They'll pray, my Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be. They don't even know what they're praying. They don't even know what they're praying. They're just praying a prayer. They say it's our Lord's prayer. They're praying a prayer. They don't even know what they're saying. We want the Lord to come. We can pray that prayer. Nothing wrong with praying a prayer. There's nothing wrong with the prayer. But the way they pray it, they believe that the Southern Baptists, the Presbyterians, they believe we got to spread the kingdom. They're amillennialists postmillennialists. They believe that we got to spread the kingdom and get the kingdom right, and then the Lord's going to come back. Well, we're failing. We're failing when it comes to that. We're not spreading the kingdom because more violence in the streets, more rogue nations, more threats around the world, more violence everywhere you turn, everything. We're not doing a good job. They're not doing a good job. And matter of fact, they believe in spreading the kingdom. They don't even have their doors open on Sunday night or Wednesday night. They just have it on Sunday morning so they can get an offering. That's it. And they're not spreading no kingdom. And if you find a Presbyterian or any of these guys that supposedly trying to spread the kingdom, you never see them pass out of track. You never see them talking to the people about Jesus Christ. You don't see them out on the street. You don't see them doing anything like that. They don't care about that. All they care about is their 401k and when they're going to retire. So the kingdom of God is within inside you. It's inside. And look at chapter 18, verse 16. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 16. Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You got to come to Jesus Christ like a child and humble yourself. Amen. And say, I know I'm wicked, God. I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to be in hell. Forgive me. And you, unless you come to the Lord like a little child. A little child, you say, what do you mean? Childlike faith. A little child, you tell them the boogeyman's in there, they won't go in there. Boogeyman, they'll believe it. And childlike faith. And you got to have childlike faith when you come to God. And you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to be in hell. I know it. It's humbling yourself. You humble yourself. Go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. A Pharisee, a religious man, a great religious man, a good man. You know what bothers me? I hate to see good people die and go to hell.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Good men, good women die and go to hell because they won't humble themselves. They won't say, oh, this is too simple. God made it so easy that a little child can understand. My little grandkids can get saved. I'm glad of that. The little kids run around here. That's why we go after little kids. Try to get them saved. Try to get them saved at a young age. And not trying to force it and not trying to deceive them. Trying to give them this truth. And want to see them get saved. And then maybe they'll grow up. We've had a lot of kids grow up in this church and that were bus kids. And they end up doing something for God. George was one of them. Friday was his birthday. He'd been 40 years old. Today is my daughter Ruthie's birthday. She's 39. And Friday, George turned 40. And he's in heaven enjoying his birthday today. Amen? So, John chapter 3, and Nicodemus said, being born of water and of the Spirit cannot enter the kingdom of God. And look at verse 6, the interpretation of it. And it's amazing how people trip and break their neck on this verse. And they can't understand it. Jesus made it so clear. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. A person's born, you're born in a water bag. The mother, my wife's water broke. And the child came forth. And this is that which is born of water That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. So the Church of Christ, a lot of religions teach that you got to be baptized and then get the Spirit. That's a lie. All right? Go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You know what that is? That's misinterpretation of the Scriptures. When the Bible gives it to you clear, that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit, marvel not, say unto ye, must be born again. So it's real clear. Now, for us to get saved, it says that thou, put your name there, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shall be saved. Not hopefully, not maybe, it says you shall be saved. It says, and then it says in 1 John, take your Bible, look in 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 13. Real simple verses. These are elementary. Elementary. If you've been saved. I'll never forget when I got a hold of this I just got saved, I was like, wow. Man, this is good. And it's still a wow factor there. It's still the wow factor. And I still get excited knowing that I'm saved forever. I can ask Jesus Christ to save me. I can't lose it. Nobody can take it away from me. And I've been bought with a price. And the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 8. What can separate us? Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. And if a person believes they can, I tell people, if you want to believe you can lose your salvation, that's fine. If that helps you to stay right, fine. Fine. Believe it. Believe it. But most of the time, the people that believe it, they still don't stay right. Yeah. 5:13. These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what?
No.
That you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And look at verse 14. This is the confidence. When a person knows, they're confident that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. For if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin, and so on, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, but I do not say that he shall pray for it. Amen? Some people pray, Lord, I'd rather die. I want to die. Look in Romans chapter 10 again. He says, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. I've had people say this to me. What happens if a person is dumb, deaf and dumb? I say, he can still get saved. It makes no difference. I don't care if they can't speak. I don't care if, you know, they have a hard time hearing. They can still get saved. And it says, confess with your mouth. Well, they're confessing. They're confessing. For the heart, man believeth on the righteous. There it is. It's in the heart. See, I've seen a lot of people confess their mouth and say, God save me, God save me, God save me, God save me. And they still don't know they're saved. And they're still not saved. And they don't know it. But it's in the heart. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what?
Ashamed.
All right, we'll stop right there and get into this next time. It's already time.